Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
So this is Sarah Bradbury for Red Film Radio, and I'm joined here today by Sebastian Elio to discuss his new film, Gloria Bell. So Sebastian, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. Maybe for people who aren't familiar with your original film from 2013 and this new one, maybe you can just give a brief synopsis of the film.
Oh, that's hard because it's about so many things. It's the absolute portrait of a woman named Gloria Bell. So we see what's going on with her life. She's 58. She's divorced. She has a pretty healthy relationship with her daughter and son and mother. And there's nothing particularly special going on with her life. She loves to dance. She goes out every night, or, well, lots of nights. Sometimes she has random encounters until she meets one man, Arnold. It seems that this is different, that this could work. And it ends up being not precisely ideal. Yeah, I guess it is a journey of self-discovery, even though Gloria is already quite a complete person, so to say. So yeah, there's a lot of music and a lot of dancing, and Gloria is interpreted by Julianne Moore, and Arnold by John Turturro.
And it's perhaps an unusual decision to go back and remake one of your own films. So what inspired you to make that choice? And what is it like to go back and revisit your own material?
Well, I wasn't necessarily interested in remaking my own film. I was about to start shooting two films, A Fantastic Woman and Disobedience. And so my mind was really into that. But then Julianne Moore saw the original film and loved it and wanted to meet with me. And I was told that she wasn't interested in remaking the film, which made sense to me because I myself wasn't necessarily interested in remaking it. But we talked, we met and we talked, and it was quite magical. She had a passion for the story and a deep understanding of the character. And so I was touched by that. And at the end of the meeting, I said to her, thank you, it's been an honor. And I totally get it if you don't want to remake this film. And she said to me, no, I would only do it if you directed it. And then it was automatic. I said immediately, I would only do it again if you're in it. So that's where Gloria Bell comes from, you know, a place of admiration and enthusiasm. And then it was a luxury to have the chance to revisit my own materials and try to re-signify them and bring them back to life. And it was an artistic challenge, you know, because I learned that you cannot remake a film. You can only make a film, you know. So the fact that I had told that story before wasn't at all a guarantee that filming the story again in Los Angeles with this new set of wonderful actors was going to work. You know, you have to deal with the challenges of making that film and hopefully bring it back to life.
And so it seems like the project was born out of a kind of mutual admiration between you and Julianne Moore. So what was it like working with her? I mean, it's such an intense film in lots of ways. She's literally in every frame and it gets very up close to her and her character's emotions. So what was that experience like and how did you work together to make it, to pull it off?
It was great. I mean, I've always admired Julianne Moore. So the fact that she was going to play Gloria was so exciting. And then to see her channeling the character and to see her bringing her back to life and with all that nuance and subtleness was really inspiring. And it was all about adding more and more layers of complexity. And Julianne is such a... she can give this... performances that are so rich and so complex that it was just perfect for this role, you know, because Gloria, as you were saying, she's always framed. There's no one second in the film where she's not framed. So we have time and space to see her from every possible angle, and she's going through the entire emotional spectrum, visiting every possible tonality. So it was a huge challenge, you know, and that only a great actress can, so to say, survive. And I think Julianne not only survived it, but she managed to do it triumphantly, with such grace. So it was just a big pleasure to see her incarnating Gloria.
And as you mentioned, you've created two other films in the meantime since the original Gloria, Disobedience and A Fantastic Woman, which are also fascinating studies of different types of women. Mm. But I wonder what you might have drawn from those experiences, both in terms of, you know, portrayal of women, but then also your filmmaking style in terms of the aesthetic, the use of music, etc.
Well, in terms of, you know, the fact that these films are observing different types of women, what they have in common is that, you know, I am not a 58 years old woman, divorced woman. I am not a transgender young girl in Santiago. I am not a lesbian Jew living in an Orthodox neighborhood in London. But it's precisely that what triggers my curiosity, you know, to try to understand what these lives are about and what I have in common with them, and so I'm driven by this interest. And then yes, in the meantime, I did film Fantastic Woman and Disobedience, which are films that stylistically are maybe more sophisticated than the original Gloria. So somehow the place where I was when I finished shooting these two films was different as a filmmaker. And of course, as a person, so I guess you can, you know, that made its way into the Gloria Bell. So you can see it in the color palette, in the way in which the camera moves, in the general tone. I hope so.
Indeed. And I guess we can also say that, you know, time has moved on since 2013. This film is being released into a different context. How do you think that might change the way this resonates with people, perhaps thinking of where we are politically, but also in terms of this, you know, very ongoing debate we have about how women are represented and treated in society?
Well, I mean, one of the reasons to tell this story again in a different context was precisely the fact that the world shifted 180 degrees towards the past, towards the Middle Ages, and we were suddenly operating from that old place of fear again. And so suddenly the story of a woman that is at the absolute center, that claims her right to pleasure, to be seen, to be loved, to live, became urgent again. It had a new urgency, and that was one of the things that really moved me to say, yes, let's do it, you know, especially if you think of what's going on in the United States with all the things that Trump has said about women, etc. So there was that dimension to it. And then I've never operated with an agenda, you know, like I've never said, like, I'm going to do this film because there is a lack of this type of films. I've always been following what moves me. The fact that, you know, these have coincide with the fact that there are, you know, few films about women after 50 is secondary to me, you know. I wouldn't do it if I wasn't extremely moved by the idea. But then if it contributes to expand a little bit what we understand in terms of what can be represented in mainstream culture, well, welcome.
And can you give us any hint of what might be your next topic that you're going to tackle on screen? Or?
Well, I made these three films back to back, so it's been a very intense period of my life. So so now I will write for the entire year. I will be writing, and it's a bit early to reveal what I'm writing about. But we are working.
Well, that's been fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing all that with us. And congratulations on a really wonderful film.
Thank you so much.
And I've been Sarah Bradbury for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.